Okay, this is side number two of tape three. Side two, tape three, interview Thomas J. O'Hare. We're looking at the watch, and we have just got the first signal from Amelia Earhart at 2:45, and they've sent out the priority message that they've heard her now. And O'Hare's on the high-speed circuit, and Bellart's is setting over on 3105 in the number two spot. Go ahead.
I told you I'm sitting on 3105, too, that the first position would be sitting on 3105. Did I mention that prior to?
I think so.
So Leo is merely backing up number one. Now, 0335, when's our schedule for the weather?
5 and 35.
Well, I'm on 5 and 35.
Right.
She's listening, isn't she? It's 35, the half hour difference.
No, 5 and 35.
Well, this is 35.
Right.
I sent the weather at 35.
That's correct.
Is everything fine? Is she listening?
As far as you're concerned, it's fine.
She now, wait a minute. Is she listening?
No.
Why not?
Because she's listening on the half hour and on the hour.
And I'm a half hour off.
No, you're 5 minutes off.
You said 35.
That's right.
This is 35.
That's correct.
Why isn't she listening?
Because she doesn't know anything about this damn printed form you got that says it sent at 5 minutes and 35 after the hour. And where it came from is completely beyond me.
What does she think I'm going to send it on?
She thinks you're going to... she's going to tell you to send on the half
what,
hour...
What, at this moment, what does she think?
On the hour and half hour.
30?
And on
right hour. On, huh? Okay. Where did this 5 minutes come from?
Can't help you. I have no idea. All I know is you were given a printed form that you filled out, and it said transmit at 5 minutes after the hour and 35 minutes after the hour.
So everybody got those instructions except Amelia, apparently. All righty.
I have no idea where they came from. I can show you the form. I can show you where you filled the forms out. But you changed later when she told you to call.
Yes. Who established this schedule? I didn't. Leo didn't.
You just took instructions.
W.K. Thompson didn't. How about Black?
No idea.
Somebody did.
These forms were printed up. They must have been done, I think they were done March or something.
Somebody established that schedule. Let's ascertain who it was.
I don't think we can now.
Offhand? We have heard her, but don't know if she hears us yet. What is my signal strength on 3105? Query. Reception impossible on 3105. I will call you again later.
That's
San Francisco.
You were heard throughout the Pacific.
We were heard throughout the Pacific.
But not on 3105.
0400 to 0300.
No, 0400 to 03.
I mean, 3 minutes past.
Yeah.
I'm transmitting the weather. How come? Where's the 5 minutes past?
Can't help it.
Why have I shifted now to on the hour?
No idea. Well, have you got that message from her yet to transmit to me on the hour and half hour?
No.
Can't help you. Well, you're on. This here wasn't you. This was,
somebody transmitted the, here, somebody transmitted the letter at 35 minutes past
right.
3. Okay, I relieved the watch. And here I am on the hour.
Right, you got a different idea about what's supposed to be done with the weather.
Now I'm going to get things straightened out here. On my own? Where did I get that information?
Yeah.
Well, I certainly didn't take it on myself to give a 5 minutes off the schedule.
Can't help you.
Why did I go from, why isn't it 5 minutes past?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because at 3:45, at 3:45, heard Earhart playing on 3105, okay?
All right.
I mean, what she said, it's not in your log, but what's in this other log, it says, Earhart heard on phone. We'll listen on hour and half on 3105, says she.
Okay, we got that cleared up.
Now we know why. Now you switched from that silly 35.
Because now we are off the written instruction and are now
what she said.
Following her verbal instruction.
And doing it correctly.
That's because O'Hare is on watch.
Okey-doke. I'm glad we did straighten it out, because I was
worried. We got that one straightened out. The reason we shifted, she requested us to do so.
And you followed her orders, at this time at least.
I not only sent it by phone, I also sent it by key.
But at first you sent it on phone just like she wanted on the hour.
Yeah, but to back it up, at 07, I finished sending it on the key.
But if she heard you, she didn't answer.
Earhart unheard on 3105 at this time.
Nope.
Okay. At 26 minutes past, I'm giving her the weather on key on 3105.
Okay.
From 26 to 35, which covers the half hour, I'm giving it to her on phone. So I finished at 35.
Okay.
I started at 26 and finished at 35.
Unfortunately, Cipriani didn't hear that.
We were only 20 feet away from him.
Okay.
He should have opened the door and thrown the radio out and just, he could have heard me.
All right. I would be funny. Okay, now. This one here now. 10 minutes later, you call Navy Radio Honolulu. What do you say?
All right. I queried Honolulu. Do you hear Earhart on 3105? Yes. But can't make her out. Understandable. Mm-hmm. But at least he heard her. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, at this particular hour, reception is the best.
But he heard her.
But he heard her, can't make her out.
Okay, go ahead.
0455. I'm working Honolulu CW. Mm-hmm. Earhart broke in on telephone on 3105 kilocycles and said,
that's at 455.
Leo's got her.
Heard Earhart part cloudy. All you got out of it.
I got now nothing.
Unreadable. Heard Earhart part cloudy. That's all he's got.
I was working NPM, but apparently I broke off.
Yeah.
And told him to wait.
Okay.
At 57 minutes, 0457, I'm sending weather on key.
On the hour.
And on the hour, I mean using phone as per requested.
Okay. No signal received. Now you're hearing her.
At 0504, I queried Honolulu. What is the strength of my radio telephone signal on 3105? Negative. He does not hear me. However, he heard her with 25 watts output. And here I am with what, 500? Think about that one. He heard her, but he could not hear me.
At all.
And here I have a tremendous output on the T10.
I don't think it's a tremendous output, but you got a tremendous with a big antenna.
I'm using the word relative to hers.
He can hear her, but he can't hear you. Nobody can hear you.
They hear us all over the Pacific, according to someone.
But why are you asking? That's you now. Why are you asking? I mean, you got a lot to do. What the hell are you doing asking Honolulu whether they can hear you or not?
Good question. Curious.
You're suspicious because she...
If I'm suspicious, I would have got... Leo sitting right over there, isn't he?
Yeah.
He knows what I'm asking Honolulu. He knows that Honolulu told me they couldn't hit. Why didn't he get up and check that transmitter then and there?
I can only find one logical reason. I don't want to put words in your mouth for you to be asking. 10 minutes after, you've just talked to Honolulu here a few minutes before. You called her and you heard her. And you answered her right on schedule. She didn't come back to you. No signals heard.
And I'm curious why she does not answer me.
So you ask NPM, how's my signal strength on 3105? You know, he said he's heard her as well as you have. You can't make her out either. And he's hearing her.
But nevertheless, I can hear her.
And he says he can't hear you at all.
And I query him, what is my signal strength on 3105? And he says, I don't hear you. Now, why didn't Leo, the chief radio man, the boss, get up and say,
what's going on here?
Boom, I'll stretch out another mill out of this thing or something.
What do you
think? I'm over here in one. I'm not about to usurp Leo's...
He's the chief.
He's the chief. I'm not about to go over to the transmitter. He would be well within his rights to say, keep your goddamn hands off of that thing while he's there.
Why are you asking? Are you and him talking about this?
Apparently no.
Are you sure? I mean, you know, maybe...
I'm busy.
Leo, damn it, why aren't we getting her? He's asked Honolulu your signal strength.
Well, it seems reasonable to assume, because he's sitting...
Right next to you.
Really, as far as from here to the door, I say, Chief, nobody hears me. Then, Leo, in retrospect, of course, I being a chief now, I would have got up and checked that damn transmitter.
You don't remember anything going on at the time?
No, he never did check that transmitter at that time.
But you're suspicious of it.
I must be.
You're asking everybody under the sun if they're hearing you.
You notice it's only me that's asking? Have you noticed that?
I'm not sure whether you or Thompson...
Galton or Thompson is not querying anyone about the reception on 3105.
Of course, the action's now. She's in here now.
All right.
Okay.
Now I'm at 5:10. Mm-hmm. I'm in communication with San Francisco. What is the strength of my signals on 3105? I just got through asking Honolulu tonight, 10 minutes prior. End of transmission. Itasca from Radio San Francisco. Reception impossible on 3105. Now in 10 minutes, I've asked two guys. Have I not?
Yep. In the last
Am I getting suspicious? Am I getting suspicious?
Well, I would say something. Somebody's suspicious about something. You don't normally do that, do you?
It would be within my province to say, hey, Chief, your transmitter's not working.
Oh.
I couldn't possibly say that. He would be well within his rights to say, mind your own goddamn business. Because that's his business.
But you're obviously suspicious of something.
Well, why am I asking everybody? Okay. Yeah, I'm getting kind of suspicious here, aren't I?
You sure are. You're making me suspicious, too. Of course,
by this time, I think my suspicions are aroused. Why didn't I get up? Well, I couldn't if the chief was there. Now, the way you check that transmitter for modulation, you come over to my position and pull the microphone out. It's like the old-style telephone, press to talk. You then plug that into the jack on the T10.
The microphone.
Yeah. And you check your meters, and the meters do not lie, as a rule. He never did that. Until the next morning. I remember him doing it with daylight. Okay, let's take it from there. At 5:26, it seems that I'm starting at 26 using the key.
Yep.
And at 5:30, boom, right on the dot, I'm giving it to her on phone. At 33, I did it again. Now, at 39 to 42, I'm sending A's on 7,500. Shifting transmitter frequency. Yeah, that's on a side frequency. 0601, sunny weather.
He asked you right on the schedule, and you, he's priority. I guess you didn't dare come back to him, tell him I have something else to do, leave me alone.
Wait a minute, 0601, I'm sending weather.
Yeah.
So I'm only a minute off.
Yeah.
Using key. 03, I'm on the phone, so I'm not off, actually.
No, that's the best you could do with him asking.
Yeah, with he in my hair. Because when you're working some guy, you're liable to overgo a minute without noticing it.
That's allowed.
At 06, I'm through giving her the weather. Oh 06012, I'm finally picking her up again. She wants bearings. Well, we know all about this.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm receiving her well now.
Pretty.
She's 200 miles out. Now, this is at 6:13 in the morning. At 6:20, I told Cipriani to get his bearings. At 6:33, I'm sending A's on 7500. I can't monkey around with Honolulu yet. He's calling me. The hell with him. Oh 0642 to 45, Earhart's on now. Reception fairly clear. You've got what she said over there. She wants bearings. She always wants bearings. And wants us to report in a half hour. Here we come back to that half hour business. It is now 6:47. Does she mean a half an hour from 6:47? Or on the half hour?
I think she means on the half hour. But
I've got in.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you, if you want to, go to 717 and see what you do.
Well, I'm not down that far
okay.
yet.
Okay, well, remember 717.
Now, does she mean on the half hour or within a half hour of 47?
What do you think she means?
I don't know until I get down there.
Okay.
I'm again calling Cipriani. For Christ's sake, get some bearings. Ballarch is in the second position. 7 o'clock in the morning.
Now, I think Ballarch was relieved.
No.
By Galton, yes. He was relieved at 7:18.
I'm not down that far.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I've got him standing by.
I just took that out of your log here.
Well, I've got him standing by. I'm not down to 7. I'm at 7 o'clock now.
Now, see, this is the half hour. She's listening for you now.
But I'm working Howland Island.
Yeah.
So I'm not sending her any weather right on the hour.
And if she, well, she wanted you to answer on the half hour with a bearing.
In a half an hour.
Glad you're on the half hour.
It says here, in.
That's what you got.
Interpreted.
Yeah.
Well, he's got it too.
Right.
We both copied the word in, not on.
Because on didn't make any sense, because that was clear around the clock again. Because you're a half
Is this
hour.
An acrobatic in semantics or what?
Yeah.
I'm down to 7:30. I haven't given her any weather yet.
Well, here you are here. It says 7:15 to 7:18.
I'm just calling her.
Yeah. See, she asked you to report in a half hour, and exactly a half hour later, you're calling her on 3105.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Rather than give her the weather, let's get a response.
That's her scheduled time. To be calling you. She's going to call
Well, there's
you.
No doubt she's listening to me.
Oh, I think there's every doubt in the world she's listening. I don't think she's listening to you at all.
If she's calling me, she must be listening for an answer.
Not necessarily.
Well, then what the hell is she calling me for?
To give you messages. She gives you messages a quarter after and a quarter to, and she listens for messages on the hour and half hour. You see, this is the thing you guys never understood.
Well, if I'm calling her on 3105, I can't hear on 3105 because my transmitter is blacking me out, even though it's not modulating. You understand what I mean?
Did you answer this letter?
Oh, keep going.
Bellart claimed there was no loudspeaker in the radio room?
How ridiculous can you get? We had a half a dozen bananas.
The tragedy I find is that she cut off her 250-foot reel antenna at San Juan, Puerto Rico, and therefore knocked out her 500 KC transceiving capability. Mr. H.W. Grossfinger, G-R-O-S-S-F-I-N-G-E-R, of Western Electric Company, that's Mr. W's and William H's in hotel, who installed the radio equipment, confirms that this would have made her 500 KC wavelength drop off badly in strength. Something had to be put in the code. Who would do that?
That's an officer's function. Probably communication officer.
Was code A seven letter and seven numbers?
No. Well, then code is never 75.
How about cipher C?
We didn't use cipher. You know what cipher is? Code is letter. Cipher is a mixture of letters and numerals.
I see.
That's the difference between a cipher and a code.
And that's all handled by officers.
Yeah.
You just send a bunch of gibberish as far as you were concerned.
Yeah. Five letter groups. They're always.
It seems to be up in the air to you about
nothing. Girl ran out of gas and splashed. One sentence.
What questions are left unanswered in your mind?
Why she couldn't receive me? Was it me or her receiver? I'm inclined to think it was my transmitter.
The T10. Can you think of any reason why?
It wasn't modulating. We had had that trouble previously.
When was that previously?
The thing was an erratic thing on voice. Because I remember once telling Leo, that modulator is haywire. So he'd go over and do whatever it was he was doing. It was a minor defect that could be taken care of quickly, you know. But as I say, it was way down in that corner. And when I press the mic, it apparently is working. You know, you get the carrier and your receiver, the proximity to the transmitter. But I always thought that we weren't actually pretty now. Otherwise, why would he have gone over to it that morning and made an adjustment? So there's two schools of thought, her receiver or my transmitter. And then she could hear me on 75. But you explain that she was going to the loop. That's about the only thing that ever...
Was there ever any question?
In my mind, why the hell couldn't she hear me?
Did you ever talk to Cipriani at all?
No. During the search, Cipriani, we left him on the island. See, we shoved off and didn't bother with anybody on the island. And Cipriani was the only one on there. So we could spare him.
He was second class. And you guys were all third class.
Yeah, but we were all superior to him.
Did you and he, not you and he, but did the three of you third classmen, being that you were ship's company, get in any sort of a hassle with
him? No. I mean, he was just another warm body as far as we were concerned. Come up and relieve the watch, and that's it.
He was about the same age as you were?
Yeah, we were all the same age group. More or less, you know.
You don't remember anything about how long he'd been in the service?
No, he hadn't been in as long as any of us. Because he had no hash mark. So he had less than 3 years service.
And he just lucked out getting a...
Right place at the right time. That's like when I made first class. I was the first class to be made in the San Francisco division in 4 years, and there was only two of us. And I got it, not because I was brilliant, but by seniority, having the most service.
Did you ever talk to him afterwards?
No, we never exchanged any ifs, ands, and what's.
Wasn't there quite a bit of talk around the radio room?
No.
Why he couldn't get a bearing?
I don't recall that. I don't even recall the boy being on the trip back to Honolulu. That doesn't stand out in my mind. No, I never talked to him.
You do remember him as rather short and...
Short, stocky, and swarthy.
He didn't have an accent, though.
Not that I would, no.
But he must have been in the United States quite a while.
Yeah.
And you never heard of him again?
No, never had occasion to.
What, do you have any opinions about why he couldn't get a bearing?
Well, he wasn't knowledgeable about the equipment. That's one thing.
You don't think he'd been trained previously?
Oh, heavens, no. He never saw the damn thing before, and I don't believe he even asked a question. Perhaps Leo did say this is that and that and this is this. But he was the type that wouldn't ask a question. How does this work?
How did they know what voltage batteries to hook up to the dumb thing?
Oh, well, that's a simple thing.
How's that?
Well, when the gear was delivered, we're going to ask what the power supply is.
Well,
God, when you buy a TV, you know damn well it's going in the...
According to the deck log, it was just dumped on board.
No, it was delivered in Honolulu.
Yeah, but it was just brought aboard
and taken to the radio room. By whom, I don't know. But it was in the shack. I saw it. And, of course we know it was a 6-volt supply. 12-volt batteries weren't in vogue in those days.
And you figured the gun batteries were 6-volt batteries.
Yeah, I thought they were high capacity, but according to what I read there, they were low capacity. I don't know. I can't offer a comment on that.
You looked at his logs yesterday. What?
So much garbage as far as I'm concerned.
You don't think those were actual logs that he made up at the time?
No. Of course, they're copies. And those copies were made in the radio room of the Itasca at some time, unbeknownst to me. He probably... The custom was for the radio operator type up his own logs while on watch. You know, if there was any copies to be made.
Do you remember him standing any watches going back to Honolulu?
Strangely enough, no. Of course he did. Of course he did. But going back is a blank. I don't remember a thing about going back. I remember the search. But I don't remember going back to Honolulu. I have no recollection of going back.
By the way, was the position number one, was that on the port side or the starboard?
Starboard side.
That was on the starboard side. The position number two then would
be on the port side.
So the T-10 was on the port side.
You're right.
And the T-16
on the starboard side.
And the T-14?
Is in the middle, midship.
But aft?
No, I could reach out and touch it.
Well, that was the T-4, wasn't it, right in the middle?
No, that's on the table here.
It's up above. Well,
here I am.
Yeah. You're sitting on the starboard side.
I'm facing port side. There's the port side.
You're facing forward, aren't you?
No. I'm not facing forward. Well, here's my mill.
The radio room went athwart ship.
Yes. I am facing the port side.
Are they all the same low or some up above the other?
One is above the other. Two of them are above the other. Two up and two down, you would say.
Okay.
Here's your switches for your transmitter.
Okay, they're right.
Here's the microphone. Here's your glass top table with your cue signals and whatever you need.
Right.
Here's your seat, which is a swivel. Here's the typewriter.
Okay, the typewriter faces...
Thwartship.
Okay, it's not on the table. It's
sitting... No, it comes out from the table
from
on
the table.
A board.
On a board, okay.
And it's bolted. Now,
right.
Now there's one behind me.
Okay, so he's actually on the starboard
side. All right,
side.
Here's my log. Here's my log. Joe Blow has a message for me.
Typewriter behind him.
Joe Blow has a NMC has a message for me.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He sends on the key.
I turn around.
Now he's facing the starboard side.
And I've got the message. No,
not the message.
I take the message out of the mill.
Right. Takes the message out of the mill. Typewriter.
And I service it. Okay. Or if I hadn't typed the service. Then I put my log receive number one from NMC SRS.
Clock. Where is the clock located?
Yeah, it's got to be over there.
Right here. So you can both look at it.
I can't remember exactly. Generally, the clock is facing the operator.
But how about this operator?
So then the clock's got to be there, huh?
Clock is on the forward bulkhead in the center.
Over the T4.
Over the T4, okay.
Yeah, that would be it.
So you look up the clock, see what time it is.
So both operators can see. So it's 20 after.
So you write in your log that you received the message at 20 after.
I ring the buzzer. The messenger comes down.
The buzzer is forward bulkhead.
Wherever, it's at the operator's position.
That calls a messenger from the bridge.
He comes down. This is on a clipboard. Now I got it on a clipboard.
Uh-huh.
He goes around to the various departments with uh-huh. the six copies.
Wherever.
One to the bridge, one to the captain, one to the engineering officer, or whoever. Then he comes back mm-hmm. with the original or any extra.
All initial.
All initial. They then go on my file.
Uh-huh.
That's the radio room file, which is the original.
Mm-hmm.
Captain keeps his. The exec keeps his. The OD keeps his. And I'm sitting there
mm-hmm.
for 4 hours or 6 hours.
You know, your microphone is on the table facing
that,
forward.
Here's the mic.
Okay. Now, you're going to transmit on the T10. You just sent a message to MMC on T16.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to transmit the T10.
All right. Here's the buttons.
You press forward. You press the button for the T10.
All right. I just used the 16. All
yep.
right. I killed it.
You killed 16.
I push up. Now, the T10's going.
Okay. And that turns on the filaments and gets the generator going for the plate.
Yeah. It's dead. I wait a couple of seconds for it to
okay.
warm up. What am I going to use, the key or the microphone?
You're going to use the microphone.
However,
you've got to do something.
Nothing.
You've got to change the antenna from the
T16
to the T16.
Oh, well, that perhaps.
You get out of your chair, walk clear over to the port side, throw the knife switch up over the top of the T10, come back, sit down, grab the microphone,
blah,
press
blah.
The button and talk.
Okay, I'm clear with whoever
I... You forgot to throw the knife switch.
Not yet. I'm still using the T10.
Okay, but I meant before you used the T10, you forgot to
throw
the knife
switch. Oh, well,
switch.
No, I did.
Okay, it's 40 years later. You wouldn't...
No, I wouldn't forget it, no.
Okay, now you want to send on key. You want to repeat the message using code now.
On the same frequencies I use
yeah.
this? Just reach over and key it.
You just reach over and key it. But how do you... Don't you have to rock back over to the transmitter and...
No.
The voice?
When I hit the button,
you hit the button
that
on the microphone,
it. That
makes
does
it automatically voice.
Yeah.
And if you send
when
it,
as soon as I take it off the button, it's back on CW.
Are you sure you don't have to throw
no,
a switch over?
No.
What if you wanted to send MCW instead of CW?
I don't remember one instant in my entire career that I sent MCW.
You never used A2?
I never used MCW in my life.
Actually, a T16 wasn't even capable of it. It was strictly an A1 transmitter. It didn't have a tone modulation at all.
Well, I never used A2 in my life.
Okay. Not even for sending out homing signals?
For nothing. How many times do you send out homing signals? That was the only time in my whole life I ever sent out
when
a homing signal.
You send out those homing signals on 500 kill cycles.
500? You don't send out homing signals on 500. You keep that. 500 is a distress frequency.
You didn't send a million on 500?
I probably sent her a message, but I certainly didn't.
You don't think you sent it on A2 then?
Oh, heavens, no.
You sent
no.
it A1. So if she didn't have her BFO on, she couldn't hear a thing.
And
so
I would have to send it in dots and dashes, naturally.
And she would, if she hadn't had a BFO switch on, she'd heard nothing but a bunch of.
Perhaps, I don't know. I don't know what she had.
It's actually kind of complicated switching from one transmitter from 7500 to 3105.
It seems to me that there was one transmitter, the 16 or 14, which I have confused.
Which is which?
The 14 was a low frequency job. It was like the T4.
So that was a 7500?
No, T16. The only thing you had.
This one right here was the one we used for high frequency. Well, then the 16 was right where I could touch.
It was in the center then.
Yeah.
The T14 was.
Now, it seems to me then the 14, I didn't have to throw a knife switch. There was one transmitter.
And the four were on one antenna.
And the other one had their own, yeah, as I recall.
There's two antennas and two knives.
Yeah, I only had to throw the antenna between the T10 and the T14 or 16. T16. Whatever.
For the high frequency.
Yeah. The other one I didn't have to fool with. Now let me see. Oh, I did use the T4 quite a bit when I was.
Oh, yeah, that's your big old. That's your.
Well,
main
that's
500 KC transmitter.
No, that wasn't my main 500.
That was your emergency one.
Yes, that was my emergency 500 because it was only 50 watts. Isn't that funny? I remember 50 watts. And that just creeped out of me. But I had been shipmates with that on the smaller vessels. The T4 and the T5, they're almost the same. Now, that's the one I was used to communicate with the Marsby because I didn't have to change frequencies. I already had it set up on 500. That was always on 500.
Was Mr. Harris a pretty good operator?
Who's Harris?
He was a radio operator on the Marsby.
Well, of course, I wouldn't know that.
Well, you'd know from working,
wouldn't you? Oh, he was a good operator, yeah. Yeah, he was a good operator. Yeah, we had no trouble with him.
Okay, well, you had a typewriter in front of you and behind you then.
Mm-hmm. That one behind me is for messages.
And so actually, the two operators almost faced each other.
He's facing me. Galton's facing me.
And he's on the
he's over
side.
There where the
facing
screen
starboard
door is.
Side.
I mean, the talkable range.
So he would use his left hand mostly.
He would tune with his left hand. I would tune with my right hand.
And that's why the number one position was on the right-hand side, because you'd rather use your right hand.
Well, that was the main position. That's the one that was the operator's position. We seldom use number two.
Where did all these officers stand that were in the room?
In the aisle between the transmitters and me.
Well, they'd be in the way then. Every time.
No, I'm sitting down.
Every time you want to change that antenna switch.
Well, move a little.
Every time you wanted to switch from
yeah,
voice
or second position would do it for me.
There was a door on both
sides. On both sides.
Were they open?
Yes.
Were they Dutch doors or
no, regular doors.
And that give you good ventilation in there.
Yeah.
Hot in there at all.
Yeah.
Equipment running.
They had a door on each side.
What kind of lighting did you have?
Well, you have one of those goosenecks right over your log.
You did?
Yeah. In addition to overhead lights.
And you could move that around.
Now, the gooseneck was right on your log because at night you turn out all the overhead and the shack was dark.
Except for that.
As a rule. In the regular course of events. So the only light that would be burning would be the gooseneck over your log.
Remember where the tube was if you wanted to talk to the bridge?
Right here.
It was on the number one position side.
I probably had a stretch.
Did you use that very often?
Yeah, when I believe when I first picked her up, I called the bridge and told her. I got her. She's on the air. We hear her. No message. We hear her. That went through the
tube. But you did not have a squawk box to.
No, those things weren't in vogue.
But you did have a button, a buzzer, to press for a messenger.
Yeah.
Did he have a button up there to press for
no.
you?
No.
He'd have to use the tube if he wanted
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Radio room. See, the only place the tube went was the engine room, and which was a separate, naturally.
and the radio room. Those were the only two. And maybe the captain's cabin, I don't recall.
Did you have bunks and stuff in?
Yeah, three deep.
There weren't hammocks, there were bunks.
The bunks in the watch quarter stand with quartermasters, radio men, and the engineers that should watch in port. Auxiliary watches, I guess we call them.
That was a watch standard.
That just people that stood watches in port or at sea. It didn't make any difference. Of course, everybody stands watches at sea. But in port, the regular crew don't stand watches.
Do you remember that you were messing around with the antennas quite a bit?
No.
On the Kaspin?
We were not messing with the antennas. No, they were fine.
No authority. Well, didn't you run the HF direction finder?
It was out of commission.
No, but in Puerto Rico.
I never tracked anyone.
I see.
I went over there to close up the station. There was a communication station. And another shack, which was the high-frequency tracking station, which I put out of commission. I never turned a receiver on it.
So you didn't have a lot of experience
on
HF direction finder.
I have had no experience on high-frequency EDF. None.
Of course, in 37, it was pretty hot stuff. That was pretty new.
Well, for Christ's sake, 2,000 kilocycles was high-frequency.
And to talk about 7,500 kilocycles.
Anything below 10 meters, it didn't exist. That was what we called, forget it, that's just experimental.
Some other spectrum.
It's experimental. Some clowns are fooling around there. It means nothing. Oh, for Christ's sake, now they're down to decimal points. Yeah. You know, on the UHF.
You go to the T10 and change frequency. You go over there, you tune up everything. All sorts of dials.
Master
turn about 25 dials. Master oscillator's way at the bottom. About 10 dials tuned so far. Dipping the grid on the plate current, tuning the intermediate. You finally got the power ampler. You run about six more dials. Takes quite a bit of time to change the frequency on the T10. Still trying to get that plate there. He's finally got it tuned up. It's taking about a minute. Now he goes over and starts transmitting on the new frequency.
S5, good. Here's the message.
There you go. Okay, now you got to go back, change it all over again, start all over again. Yeah. On the T10, I noticed that when they asked you to set it up on 3105, they weren't sure that it would tune up on 3105 or not.
Yes, we were.
They sent some messages back and forth, and they finally said the T10's fine on 3105, tuned up good.
Yeah.
Why were they in doubt that it was?
See, because the T10 we used for 2670, the Coast Guard calling frequency, the one you use mostly. And 2,000 is not far from 3,000. So there's no problem.
But why were they in doubt that it would tune up on 3105?
Oh, that's some armchair technician.
You know, originally the T10 would only go up to 3,000 kilocycles. That's all it was designed for.
No, I think it was designed for more. I don't recall.
Originally, then they